the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, "The remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire." As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man.' Now I was cupbearer to the king. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, 'Why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart.' Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, 'Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad, when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire?' Then the king said to me, 'What are you requesting?' So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it.' And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, 'How long will you be gone? And when will you return?' So it pleased the king to send me, when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me, to the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy.' And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. Then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river, and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite servant, heard this, it displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word
Spirit. Amen. Hearing the prayer of Nehemiah, I find myself both humbled and astonished. It's clear that Nehemiah was a man of faith who was confident that the Lord would fulfill his promises, even though what he was witnessing didn't tend to support this trust of his. It's probably worth reviewing the historical context of this evening's reading before looking more closely at Nehemiah's prayer. The Persian king Cyrus had brought a sudden end to the Babylonian Empire in the year 537 BC. The following year, he had authorized exiles from Judah to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. The book of Ezra details the struggles and difficulties the returnees faced. It took 20 years before they rededicated the temple, but more than 70 years after this, the remnant who had returned to Jerusalem were facing great trouble and shame. Those who brought word to Nehemiah reported, "The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire." Both because of local opposition and official prohibition from Artaxerxes, the king, whom Nehemiah served, the city wall remained a ruin, and as a result, neither Jerusalem nor her inhabitants were secure. Nehemiah's response to this news was to weep and mourn and fast and pray. He questions neither God's power nor his love. He addresses him as the Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God. This is certainly apt, but notice the faith that it reflects. The Lord God of heaven is the God who rules over all nations. Everything is under his authority and control. He is able to accomplish what Nehemiah intends to petition him to do. Nehemiah also described God's character. He is a God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. From Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, continuing with Moses and Joshua, then with Israel's judges and prophets and kings, the Lord had shown a consistent pattern of keeping his promises and showing mercy to those who trust in him. It's on this basis that Nehemiah brings his petition to the Lord, imploring him to listen and hear his prayer for the people of Israel, your servants. This is an interesting assertion, that Israel is the people of God. In some respects, the people had voided that identity by their sin. And the Lord, by letting them be defeated and carried away into exile, had confirmed that they were not his people. As he goes on, however, Nehemiah doesn't claim that the Lord owes Israel anything. On the contrary, he acknowledges that they have broken the covenant. He makes no excuses for his or the people's rebellion. He prays, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house, he says, have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. He had confessed that God keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. So where does that leave Nehemiah and Israel? We echo Nehemiah's prayer when we confess that we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone, not loving him with our whole heart, nor our neighbor as ourselves, and thus deserving his punishment both now and eternally. So what more is there to say? How can Nehemiah come to the Lord in prayer? On what basis can he expect to receive anything from God other than his enduring wrath, which has been earned by them? The answer Nehemiah gives is that he is basing his prayer on God's word and promises. Remember, he says to the Lord, remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. Here Nehemiah is clinging to the word of the Lord. His faith and prayer are like those of the Canaanite woman to whom Jesus had said, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dog. With Nehemiah, this woman saw in this a promise. Yes, Lord, she said, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Yes, Lord, Nehemiah says, I and my fathers have sinned, but with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. For those who return, for those who repent, for those who humbly trust his promises, the mercy and the goodness of the Lord endure forever. Nehemiah continues, they are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. It's all about you, Lord, Nehemiah confesses. You have redeemed these, your servants and your people, by your great power and by your strong hand. You can't ignore them, abandon them, leave them alone. You are their only hope. You alone can help them. Thus Nehemiah concluded, O Lord, yet let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. And then he stood before the king, and the Lord responded to Nehemiah's prayer by moving King Artaxerxes to look with favor on Nehemiah and grant him all that he requested. It is certain the Lord is a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, forgiving your iniquity and transgression and sin in love for Jesus' sake. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.